Well, I got to tell you that Polly picks out the best children's books, and we love to read them. And that really is a great story about friendship. We're in a series called Lessons Learned. Now, I'm sharing eight of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in life. This is coming from my heart, but I believe that really I'm speaking on behalf of the whole church, because these are lessons that we learn as Christians, lessons we learn within the community of faith. And so today the lesson is just simply this. What is the lesson? If you're rich in friends, you're rich indeed. Rich in friends. This story that Polly shared from Mark's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, is the greatest story I know about a man who had great friends, and it made all the difference in his life. You see, because first of all, this man didn't have a whole lot of things. His world was confined probably to a 3x6 mat. That's where he had to live. This man probably had very few of the things that we take for granted. He certainly didn't have a job, probably didn't have a family. He had dreams, but they really couldn't be fulfilled because he needed, he needed health to be able to work. He needed to have his legs to be able to run and to play. And can you imagine this man at night having a dream of being well and being able to live a full, abundant life, but then to wake early in the morning on a three by six foot mat knowing, no, that was just a dream, and this is all I have, is a 3x6 mat upon which to spend my life. Now, before you start to get feeling really bad for this fella, let me tell you something. There were a lot of things that this man may not have had, but this man was rich in friends. And you're going to find out that that made all the difference in his life, just like it can make all the difference in our lives. This man had very little, but I want to tell you one thing. He was rich in friends. And these friends made all the difference in his life. That's the lesson for today, is simply about rich in friends. Now, there are three things about the riches of friendship that I want to speak with you about. They're very, very simple. First of all, friends know one another's stories. Second of all, friends care about one another. And third of all, friends bring each other closer to God. Now, let me start with that first one. Friends know one another's stories. Isn't it nice when you are around people who, well, they know a little bit of your story. They know what you lived through in life. They know a part of your history. They probably have shared a good part of that history. Well, we don't know this man's history. I would like to know, well, why was he a paralytic? You know, what happened? Was he born that way? Did he have an accident? I'd like to know more about his life. I'd like to know more about how he felt about that. There are so many things I don't know about this man's story. I don't know who his parents were. I don't know his heritage. I just don't know hardly anything about this man. But let me tell you something. This man had some rich friend. He was rich in friendship. And whenever they gathered, just like happens here at this church in small groups, you open up and you share your story. And so these other men knew his story. They probably knew a lot of things that very few people knew about this man because they each shared their story. Now, what I think probably happened, and what does happen, is when one person begins to lift up the veil of their heart and to share their story, you feel vulnerable, it's risky. But once you do that, everybody else wants to do the same thing because we want to be able to, for other people to know our story. You know, from time to time, Polly will call up a friend that she made many, 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 many years ago. She doesn't spend a whole lot of time with this particular person now because they're in two different places in their life and they're doing different things. But when she calls this person up, she knows this person knows a part of her history that was very precious to her at that particular time. And that person made a difference in her life. And so isn't it nice to know that you have a friend that you can call up that knows a little bit of your story, a little bit of your history, and they knew about this man. Matter of fact, he probably was responsible for this group as being as close as they were, because when he lifted the veil of his heart and he shared, everybody else probably did the same thing. Well, that's the first thing that I really want to say about the riches of friendship, is that friends know one another's stories. And I see that happening so often in small groups here in the church. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I'm going to need your help a little bit during this service. And here's the way you're going to help me out. If you're rich in friends, you're rich. And I'm going to lift my hand and you say, indeed. If you're rich in friends, you're rich.
Indeed.
Okay, you're going to help me throughout this sermon whenever I say that one more time. If you're rich in friends, you're rich.
Indeed.
All right, pay attention now. Okay, I raised my hand. Okay, you know what to do. Y'all are great. We're with it. The second thing is this about the riches of friendship. Friends care for one another. Now, just go back and read that story again. You know how much these people cared. They heard that Jesus was home in Capernaum, and there was a large crowd coming to see him because he was bringing health and wholeness to people. The healing ministry of Jesus was awesome. And this man's friends wanted to be able to take him to Jesus because, well, as I'll say later, they had a strong faith. But in order to get this man to Jesus, they literally had to carry him. And so four of them gathered up the four parts of the stretcher, the pallet or the mat, and they literally carried him to see Jesus. When they got to the house, there were so many people in there, they couldn't get through the door. I mean, they could have said, well, we'll try again another time. But they cared about their friend. That was an obstacle they were going to overcome. Friends will see obstacles and they'll say, listen, we're going to find a way to get through the obstacle because we're going to help you. You know, I see it happen all the time. There are many obstacles that come up in our life, but friends don't let those obstacles stop them. When they really want to help a friend, they'll find a way to overcome that obstacle. And here's the way these friends overcame that obstacle. They were great friends because they were roof crashers. They actually cared enough about this man that they helped him to get through. And it was wonderful because when they lowered him down, he didn't have to wait in line. He was right before Jesus. I can see Jesus looking up now and the little bits of the ceiling coming out. Well, 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 look what we have here. And they overcame the obstacles. Amen? You know, if you're rich in friends, you're rich.
Indeed.
I tell you what, this man was rich in friends. And you know, in our own neighborhood, a while back, we had a new member of our neighborhood to move in, a single woman. Now, at the time, we didn't know her story. We didn't know hardly anything. All we knew was somebody was moving in this house in our cul-de-sac. We just didn't know how many people. Because I think there was as many as 20 people running around, carrying furniture in, doing all kinds of things. And I thought, my goodness, how many people are there going to stay in that place? But it was a single mother. And these were her friends who were determined to help her move in. Because someone walked out on her life. But friends walk in when others walk out. And she had them all over the place. And since she moved in, we've gotten to know her and her daughter. And it really is true to life that, well, there's a lot of things that she doesn't have. But she's rich in friends because her friends showed up to help. I don't know how many of y'all saw the movie The Ultimate Gift. Did you see the movie The Ultimate Gift? If you haven't seen the movie The Ultimate Gift, you still can. You can get it on video. Basically, it's about a young fella who's trying to learn some lessons in life, just like we're all trying to learn some lessons in life. And one of them had to do with friendship. And so he's watching this video of his grandfather that was put together before his death, but now his grandfather has passed on. And as he's watching this video, he's being taught by his grandfather. And this particular lesson has to do with friendship. Now, in the room while he's watching this video is the lawyer, Mr. Hamilton, of his grandfather. I believe it's his grandfather, or is it his uncle? It's his grandfather, okay. Mr. Hamilton is there. He's his attorney, and he's also handling his financial affairs. And so That's a little bit of the background there. But on the tape, here is what his grandfather says. "Jason, as you heard me tell Mr. Hamilton at your first meeting, he is quite simply my best friend. Friend is a word that is thrown around far too easily by people who don't know the meaning of it. Today, people call everyone they know their friend. Young man, you're lucky if you live as long as I have and can count on your and count your real friends on the fingers of both hands. I am now going to share a story with you, Jason, that I promised I would never tell as long as I lived. Since you are watching this after my death and in the presence of the one whom I promised, I feel comfortable sharing it. As you know, I lived past my 75th birthday and enjoyed what to most people was a long and healthy life. But this was not always a sure thing. I remember when I had just turned 38 years old and was hospitalized with an extreme fever. The doctors weren't sure what was wrong with me, so they brought in every specialist from across the country. Finally, I was diagnosed as having a rare kidney disease, which was incurable. The only hope they gave me was a new procedure called a kidney transplant. You've got to realize that this was unheard of at that time, and donors were not readily available as they are today. I called Mr. Hamilton, who has always acted as my attorney, and told him we would need to start a nationwide search to find me a kidney. I was very frightened because the specialist had told me that without the transplant, I might not have more than a few weeks. You can imagine my relief when Mr. Hamilton called me 2 days later and told me he had located a kidney on the East Coast. Well, as I am sure you can guess, the operation was a success and gave me back over half of my adult life. What I'm sure you couldn't guess, and what no one has known until now, is that the kidney that Mr. Hamilton found was his own." That's what I call caring for a friend. If you're rich in friends, rich indeed. And then finally, friends help bring you closer to God. Well, that's what these friends were doing. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. Now, what's interesting in this story, you have to read it over several times. There's a lot of stuff in this story, and I can't unpack all of it, but here's some of the richest stuff in this story. When they lower the man down before Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus looked at his friends. And when he saw the faith that they had, I didn't say when he looked at this man and saw the faith that he had. When Jesus looked at his friends and saw the faith that they had, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk." And he got up and he picked up his pallet and he walked, and everybody was amazed. They'd never seen anything like that. Now, when he saw their faith, what's going on here? Let me tell you what friends do sometimes. Sometimes friends will come alongside you, and they know that you're tired. You're tired of hoping and praying and dreaming, and you're just worn out. And they know that you don't need another person to come along and say, "Cheer up, just have more faith, have more faith, have more faith." If you had more faith, no, a real friend will come along and say, "Listen, I know it's tough for you right now, and I want to tell you something. I'm going to believe for you. Because you may not be able to do that for yourself. I just want you to rest. I just want you to be well assured it's okay to be tired and just let yourself be held by a loving God. Just allow yourself to be loved by your friends. It's not about you trying to do one more thing. It's not about you trying to acquire more and more faith. The burden is no longer on you. I want you just simply to receive a gift. I am your friend. And I'm going to believe for you." It's like lifting a burden from somebody. And when Jesus looked at this man's friends, that's what he saw. He saw people who were so filled with love that they were determined. Not only were they going to carry this man and care about him, but they were going to believe for him when he couldn't believe anymore in himself. Now that is powerful. Let me tell you what a real friend is. A real friend is someone who will bring you closer to God, not take you away from God. And right now, it would be probably a good idea for you to think, are my friends bringing me closer to God, or are they taking me farther away from God? Because I'm telling you, real friends will ultimately bring you closer to God. Be very, very careful who you allow to be your closest friends. Because they'll either bring you closer to God or they'll take you away from God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing in this story to see the riches of friendship. These people knew this man's story. They knew it. These people cared about this man. They carried him to see Jesus. These people brought him closer to God. They believed for him when he couldn't believe in him, believe for himself. If you're rich in friends, you're rich indeed. It's amazing. Now, this is a life lesson that's worth learning. This past week, I had lunch with a mine that I hadn't been with in a long time, a retired minister. His name is David Harvin. This is his first year in retirement. One of the things that I'm doing is I've selected seven men. They're all Methodist ministers. They've recently retired or have been retired for some time, and I'm meeting with them to reconnect with them. And, well, to be quite honest with you, I hadn't seen David in a long time. Certainly hadn't shared a real in-depth, meaningful conversation with him. But as we met for lunch at TK Trips, we began to reconnect. You remember when? Yeah, I remember when. I remember when. And it was just so good for me to know that, you know, David knows a lot of my story about how I began in the ministry. We began the same time, the same year. I was in Hamlet. He was in Rockingham. Oh, boy, there was a connection there. We began sharing it. But I wanted to learn, David, how's it going for you? He says, going really great. He says, let me tell you what I'm doing. He told me that he basically there were three things that were his top-notch priorities in retirement. First of all, he and his wife were going to determine that they were going to make three really great trips a year. They were going to get together and go to three places they've always dreamed about going. And then another part of what he was going to do was he was going to commit his life to further ministry. He was going to identify with one mission that he could still give himself to. And by the way, he has been helping out every Monday with Stop Hunger Now here in Raleigh. But in this beginning in March, the conference has asked him to champion the No More Malaria mission that our whole conference is going to be involved in. So he's still significantly involved in ministry. And then I said, well, what's the third thing? He said, every week I have one day, it's called Relationship Day. And my wife waves goodbye to me in the morning and I don't come back until the evening. And it's all about me reconnecting with my friends. It's all about spending time with relationships that count. I said, you have an official relationship day? He said, yeah, it's on our calendar. The wife says, it's time for you to go. It's relationship day. I said, well, how did that start? He said, well, I'll tell you kind of how it started. He said, you remember Reverend Mercer? Yeah, I remember Reverend Mercer. He was a district superintendent when we started out. We all looked up to him. Well, he really was David Harvin's mentor. He went to see him one time at his home up in Lake Junaluska. And they were talking and everything, and he discovered that across the street was Reverend Mercer's best friend from college. And David Harvin said, oh, isn't that neat? Your best friend from college just happens to live across the street from you. He said, no, make no mistake about this. This is not by accident. We've kept in touch all during these years. We invested in our friendship. This didn't just happen. Friendship doesn't just happen. You can't microwave it. It takes a long time to grow an old friend. And Reverend Mercer said, and this was when David was 40 years old, he said, young man, you need to begin now to make up your mind that it's going to count and you need to do things about it. So David never forgot that lesson. And so now, as he has more time on his hands, one day a week is relationship day. Wow, I really like that. So, I'm wondering about this man in this story as he grew older. As I said, there's so many things we don't know, but here's a scenario for you. It's later in life. This man has a full, abundant life, wife and family, job, involved in significant ministry. You know, up on his wall is that little mat that he used to live on, just to remind him of that. And beside the mat is this framed picture of his little small group. And they all got smiling faces in there, you know, and there's little mats in there. And so one day he goes over there and he looks at the picture and he goes, "Wow. Well, now wait a minute. I wonder where all these fellows are now." And so one by one, he begins to reconnect with some of these fellows, and he learns that one or two has passed away. But for those who are still living, he reconnects with, and then he says to himself, "I'm rich in friends, and I'm rich indeed." Now, that's just one scenario. The other scenario could have been that he kept in touch with them all the time, and they had a very meaningful ministry in their community of helping other people form small groups and to grow in relationship with one another. I don't know the scenario there, but I do know this. What are you going to do? I would like to ask you this. What are you going to do to reconnect with the friends that you need to reconnect with? Because we all have a need to reconnect with some people in our lives. Now, some persons may have gone on to glory, but you can still take time to sit down and to think about those persons and to thank God for them. Spend a little time to reconnect with the persons that you need to reconnect with, perhaps a call or a card. Maybe you don't know really how to contact them. I know now with Facebook you can just about find anybody, but try to reconnect with them. I want you to realize that if you're ever getting down in the dumps about all the things you don't have in life, I want you to get down with a sheet of paper and I want you to begin writing down the people you've known in your life who have been your friend, or the people in your life who are your friend right now. I'm going to tell you, the easiest way to grow an attitude of gratitude instead of grumbling is to count your blessings, and your blessings come with names. They're people. You realize the people in your life you've been blessed to have, or that you have now, you'll say, "You know, I'm rich." Because if you're rich in friends, you're rich indeed. So I want you to think about that for a little bit. I want you to think about where you are right now. Because we as a church are all about helping persons get connected to God, to people, and to service. One of the greatest things ever said about Jesus, it's also a criticism of Jesus. Do you know what it was? One of the greatest things ever said about Jesus was really meant to be a criticism, a put down. And the statement was this: he eats, and he's friend of sinners, and he eats with them. You know what that means? Jesus will be your friend. Others may walk out, but he'll walk in. He'll go and find you. Jesus wants to be our friend. Even when we know sometimes maybe we don't deserve it, but that's not what it's about. It's about what he wants. You know, he looked at his disciples one day and they would have done anything for him. They would have served him. They probably would have laid down their life for him, even though they didn't know what all that meant. But he looked at them one day and he says, "Look, I just want y'all to know that the relationship that we have, no longer am I going to call you servants. I want to call you my friends." You see, that's what it's all about, is that we have a friend in Jesus. There's no excuse for saying, "Well, I don't have a friend." You want a friend? Just begin with Jesus, and then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. When Jesus comes into your life, he brings his friends with him. He never comes alone. Now, I'm going to warn you, some of Jesus' friends are kind of kooky. They're going to look different, smell different, act different, sound different. But he called them friends, and he's going to bring them with him. And you know what could happen? You could become their friends too. And the whole thing can get kind of like multiplication and more and more and more and more and more. You know what? That's what the church is. It's the community of Jesus' friends who get to know one another. You know, we're really all here together, not because we woke up and said, well, I'd like to get the other so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. No, we said, you know, I want to go worship the Lord today. And so we showed up, and Jesus made sure that the rest of y'all showed up. And look, you know, have you ever gone to a party one time where you were invited to go into so-and-so's party, and then you met all these other people you didn't know, and you thought to yourself, well, why are they here? And then it dawned on you, well, they're friends of that person too. You see, this is a community of friends. It begins with Jesus, who calls us a friend, and then he brings his friends with him. You can get connected in the church. And that's what the church is all about, is helping people get connected to God and with people into service. If you're rich in friends, you're rich indeed. You know, the riches of friendship, again, simply this. Friends know your story, they care about you, and they bring you closer to God. I had an experience this past week. It energized me. I'm so glad it energized me, because it was really on a day that was filled with a lot of stuff for me to do. But I was energized. I went to Independence Village to visit an insider. I almost didn't go, but I said, no, I'm close enough to make this visit, I'm going to go. I went in to visit the lady, and then I began to see another lady there, and I thought to myself, gosh, she looks familiar. As we began to talk, her little gestures reminded me of this person, and I thought, well, you know, you get older, you imagine everything. But then as time went on, I began to have a conversation with her, and I said, ma'am, may I ask you where you're from? I could tell she was spunky. She says, well, I'm from the East Coast. I said, oh, East Coast, all right. What part of the East Coast? Well, I'm from... a certain part of I don't know if it was the Northampton County or what have you. But I said, wait a minute. Something right now is telling me that you're Mrs. Branch from Rich Square, North Carolina, where I used to be the pastor in 1979. And she said, you're William. And I said, you're Mrs. Branch. We know one another's stories. She helped me get started in the ministry. She believed in me when I wasn't so sure I was going to make it. She cared for me. She had me to her house. She fed me. And I said, Mrs. Branch, what about Ernest? I remember Ernest. Y'all worked in the post office. She said, Ernest is over there taking a little nap. I looked over there, taking a little nap. And I thought to myself, I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. And so the invitation is just simply this today. Sometimes you need to be carried to Jesus. I want to invite you to come for prayer. Polly and I are going to place you on a mat, not a real mat. We don't have one up here. We're just going to place you on a mat, and we'll carry you to Jesus and pray for you. That's what we do for friends. When you have your quiet time in your mind with God, look before you, a little mat, put people on the mat you want to pray for, and then just take them to Jesus. You don't have to carry their burdens. You don't have to heal them. You don't have to fix them. You just take them to Jesus and say, Jesus, here they are. And then you step back. You're invited to come for prayer, and Polly and I will place you on a mat, and all of us together as your friends will bring you to Jesus. We'll pray for you. Let us stand.